Anyway, let's just bow our heads for a moment and just ask the Lord to bless us. Father God, I thank you that we've come together and we've had such a great time in worshiping you. We've just lifted our hands, our hearts, our soul, body, mind, and will to you in worship. And we've just done what you've told us to do in the house of God. We've worshiped Holy Father. And now we've fellowshiped together. And now it's time to listen to what you have to say to us. So we have fed ourselves in one sense, but now we feed ourselves in another sense. And I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be looking and climbing what? Mount Moriah. Okay. And it's very beautiful because one of the first songs that we sang was Climbing Your Mountain. Any of you ever climbed a mountain? Lift your hand if you've ever climbed a mountain. Okay, my first mountain climb, well, I was Nancy and I got married in 1960, and we went to Tom Saw Mountain in Missouri, and so we actually didn't climb the mountain. We drove our 55 Chevy convertible up the mountain, but we had a great mountaintop experience in that several things happened on the mountaintop. First of all, we got stuck in the mud. Oh, that was beautiful. And I got a picture of that, too. Secondly, we got stuck in the snow, and that was a cool experience. And then we put our chains on the tires. And then, I forgot about this one. Something happened to the transmission of the car, and so we had to go to a garage, and they luckily were able to fix it. So we had several mountaintop experiences there. And then in my feeble, I remember this. It turns out that we climbed a very tall tower, and Nancy took a picture of me, and I took a picture of her looking over, like into the promised land that was going to be ours from 1960 on to whatever. You've had mountaintop experiences. So today I want to travel you all over to Mount Moriah. It's going to be a beautiful place because in the Bible, mountains and hills were very, very special. It turns out that many unique experiences happened on these mountaintops, and the Bible records many of them. In fact, one of you are probably asking, how many times is the Bible mentioned in the Bible? I think you are asking that. Well, Mr. Google tells me 136 times. Thank you. The word mountain is used. So, mountains are very important because important things happened on mountains. And also, a very important thing is going to happen on your Mount Moriah, spiritually speaking. So, they just carry the presence of God. It was a place of refuge. It was a place of hideaways for refugees. It was just the place for the people to be at the time in their life. So, with that said, I'd like to start with this. I want you to see this picture as it should be coming up here. And that is Bishop's Peak. Anybody been on Bishop's Peak? We got a few people. You climbed Bishop's Peak. This guy sitting back there, lift your hand, sir. Thank you. He and I climbed Bishop's Peak when I first met him. This is back in the dark ages, okay? And so we were walking up the peak, and I got pictures of this. I wanted to show him, but I didn't want to embarrass myself. Not even knowing you would be here, that would even be horrible. Anyway, so there we are. We took a selfie. In those days, they wouldn't even know what a selfie was. And so there's a picture of Dan Ballesteros and I there. And we were struggling along, going to the top of Bishop's Peak, and I was tired. He was tired, but he wasn't about to tell me, and I wasn't about to tell him. So, you know, that's what you call PRIDE, right? So we had it. Boy, we were puffed up with that. So, gosh, I don't want to go any farther. And he didn't want to go any farther. But somehow or another, we looked at each other, and our eyes collected. That's where we bumped heads. And so we decided this was it. So we turned around. At the bottom of the mountain, there's a color slide popped up on my slideshow many months ago of Daniel saying, which way do we go? He didn't know which way to go. Okay, so we're climbing up Bishop's Peak, and then we decided to turn around, which we did. Okay, don't do that, Neil. Okay, I won't. Okay, so I talk to myself sometimes. Okay, so we decided to turn around, and we did turn around. And then we saw this guy coming down, a buffed up guy. And so he says, I said, or maybe Dan said, how much farther? He said, after we had turned around and was going back down, oh, it's just around the corner. So what I'm telling you, dear people, is this. As you climb your mountain, remember, when you get huffing and puffing and you say, this is it, I can't go any farther, it's all around the what? Around the corner. Okay, so with this, it carries a very great place of providence. And I want to show you this slide, if you will. I went the wrong way. Okay, how about this one? Okay. Let me get my little green guy going here. God's talking to us. Okay. The Morro Bay to St. Louis. Press one, please, sir. Refers to the seven sisters, but technically they're how many? Ouch. Okay, and you can read them. Moral black, da. And so they are that. And the reason these are very important is because in days gone by, in many days gone by, the pilots used those mountains for navigation. And so that they were very, very important. But we want to go back, if we will. Let's go back to the Mount Moriah. So, sorry about that. So, Mount Moriah is coming up. Come on, rise up, Mr. Mountain. Mount Moriah, he's going to come. So, here is the significance. Did somebody ask me what's the significance of of Mount Moriah? Somebody ask me. Ask me. Boy, you're so nosy. Okay, I'll tell you. Okay, here's what's significant about Mount Moriah, since you asked. I just happen to know. And here it is. Mount Moriah, old city of Jerusalem, I'll read this to you if you don't mind, is the site of a lot of biblical activities. It's one of the most valuable pieces of real estate, any of you real estate ladies and gentlemen, one of the most valuable pieces of real estate and the most hotly contested pieces of real estate on earth. And it is also the most sacred area to Christians, to Muslims, and to Jews. But sitting on top of Mount Moriah is this, the Temple Mount. You were thinking it was 37 acres? You're right. 37 acres is a lot of acres. But sitting on top of that piece of real estate is where the Jewish temple once stood. And now there are several important Islamic holy sites are there, including the Dome of the Rock. Many of you are familiar with. We'll look at it in a picture in a moment. This was a Muslim shrine built 1,300 years ago. But Mount Moriah's history began way back in the beginning. May I trace one rabbit? I was given a birthday card last week. It said, in the beginning, God. I opened it up and it said, how was it then? Okay, in the beginning, God. That's where the mountain starts. In the beginning, God. In the second chapter of Genesis, God commanded Abraham, say Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. I'm reading Genesis 22, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain, which I will tell you. And the place that God led Abraham was Mount Moriah. And so he offers his sacrifice of his son. Most of you know that story. But God intervened, right, and provided a ram for him instead of his son for that sacrifice. But because of Abraham's obedience on Mount Moriah, God told Abraham that from now on, your descendants are going to be numerous. They will be taking possession of all the cities, and you will go and you will go and you will go with me. So let's go forward to some lessons here. Back up, Neil. Thank you. Okay. Let's back up. Okay. This is the famous Mount Moriah. It's what it looks like from a distance, and this is what it looks like close up. And there's a picture that somebody that's close up, and then here's the picture of Abraham taking Isaac, and there he's sacrificing Isaac, all on Mount Moriah. And now on Mount Moriah is what? Right. And now also on Mount Moriah is what? The Wailing Wall. Nancy and I have stood there, and we've watched people put in their prayer requests in the cracks, the Wailing Wall. So right now we want to look at and climb your Mount Moriah spiritually. Now it is located here in Morro Bay. And to fast forward through all of those pictures, we got the Wailing Wall. Now, we are at that place where we're sort of like wailing because we're climbing up this mountain, spiritually, Mount Moriah. So, to you who are here and to you who are wherever you are listening to me right now, you have before you a mountain, Mount Moriah. Now, to backtrack with this story of Abraham and his son, have you ever thought how old this guy was? He brought his son. Now, going in through Sunday school classes, you know, usually they picture him as a little kid, and that's pretty cool. But now stop and think about it for a moment, guys and gals. He said, "Hey, Father, here's all the wood." How could a little boy carry all the wood, you know? So, yeah, he was an older guy. Anyway, the whole point being that as he carried up that wood, it's like you today are carrying up your burden on your Mount Moriah. And this is so important as we climb this mountain today. Two observations. First of all, in the case of Abraham, he was tested. Oh, was he ever tested? And he also trusted. Oh, did he ever trust? Would you say test? Yes. Would you say trust? Okay, those are my two points. We got to test and we got to trust. So, anybody here being tested? Don't even lift your hand, because you would knock the roof off. Yes, we go through testing, don't we? Some of you people are going through a very difficult test right now. I don't know what it is, as maybe the one sitting next to you don't know. Maybe your spouse doesn't even know. But there are three or four of you, I do believe, that are going through a real testing time right now. You're being tested, just like Abraham was being tested. And so when I think about spiritually, we're climbing this mountain today where we are right now. We are being tested. We are being tested. And is life a test? How many of you have taken a test lately, a real test lately? Anybody? I know you got one coming up, don't you, at Cuesta College. We take all these tests. But beside a test with paper and pen and ink, oh, we have this life test. Because the minute you said your first word, which was what? When you were born, what did you say? Come on, what did you say when you were first born? Yes, Dr. Mike had it right there. Say it loud, please. A little bit louder. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That's what he did. That was your first word. Now I've lost my whole train of thought. Oh, my gosh. I think I'll go home. Anyway, where was I? I was right here, wasn't I? Okay. Life is a test. And the minute you made that first word to now we're making our word today, it's all of a test. And I don't have to tell you that. But what I want to tell you is this, dear people, that in this testing that we're going through, the Bible says, and let me read it to you, James 1, I don't like this verse, okay? But I have to tell you because this is in God's Word. James 1, consider it pure joy. Huh? Excuse me. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials and tests of any kind, well, the Bible says, consider it pure J-O-Y, joy. How can you have joy? How can you have joy when you're being tested? Well, you can. And all of you can contest to that fact. But the scripture goes on to say, I'll start over. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds and are tested, because you know that the testing, say testing, testing of your faith produces perseverance. Verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. These are the trials of just trusting. You've got to trust. You've got to trust. You just got to trust. Oh, it's so easy to say. It's so hard to do. You got to trust that it's going to be okay. You've got to trust that you're going to be carried through. Well, let me put it this way. They were building this railroad trestle over a valley, a precipice, and they had built the railroad track, and it was beautiful. And so after it was all finished, the story goes that they loaded a train with a lot of cars, and they filled the cars double what the cars would normally carry with the load. And the engineer drove the train to the middle of this place where the bridge was and let the train stand there for a whole day. And some of the people said, what's happening? Why are you waiting? And the answer was, I am waiting because I am testing. I am testing the bridge to make sure it's going to hold the load. Now, dear people, God is testing us through our trials and circumstances. But I don't like, but I will repeat that word. Consider it pure joy. Pure joy. I say to myself, how can you have joy? Goodness, you're sitting over here and all this is happening to you. How can you have joy when you are being tested like this in so many ways? And then I say to myself, because right now I'm living with myself, I, me, and myself, we all live together. And sometimes I talk to me and me talk to myself, and I get in the middle and we have all kinds. Anyway, so what I say to myself in that time is, if you believe this, what happened to my Bible? Okay? If you believe this, and I don't want to be disrespectful and stand on it, because I did that once and I got nailed. Oh, they said I was being disrespectful. No, I said I was trying to illustrate. We're supposed to stand upon the Word of God. But stand on that scripture, dear people. Consider it pure joy when you are facing these tests. Abraham tested, was he ever tested on that Mount Moriah? But he did not fail. So there's another scripture in this book, 1 Peter 1:6. In all of this testing, rejoice. Though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And then he goes on to say, this is Peter, he goes on to say, dear friends, oh, we friends, yes, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. Abraham tested on Mount Moriah. You're being tested on your spiritual Mount Moriah as though something strange was happening to you. You are being tested. You are being tested. So let me encourage you during the time of testing. What can you do? What can you do? Call upon Abba Father, of course. Call upon a friend. Turn to the Word of God. Spend more time on your knees. And just talk to the shepherd, because you are a very prized sheep. And listen to what he has to say. And if you want to call my dollar devotion, which many people do, commercial, 995-2127, a message change every night at midnight to encourage people who are going through trials. Just to, it's words for courageous living. The point is, listen and talk. You cannot go wrong in times of testing when you are climbing up your mountain. Okay. Secondly, the testing. And then he also, through this idea of testing, he had to do this. He had to T-R-U-S-T, and that says what? Trust. What? Trust. Trust. Oh, remember that song? Oh, yeah. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This guy Abraham did that. He trusted and obeyed as he climbed that Mount Moriah. And that's what we've got to do, people. We've got to realize it's a trial, but we have got to trust. Again, is that easy? Of course not. Is it hard? You better believe it. Can you do it? Yes, with his help. Yes, 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 yes. So climb that mountain of trusting God. And so actually the word Moriah means, if somebody was asking me, it means the Lord will provide. I love that. Say that. The Lord will provide. So in your time of testing and climbing your mountain, the Lord will provide. He's faithful. He's true. He's just. He's never failed yet. But who's failed? Oh, yes. The unseen hand of God was with Abraham that day. So the idea of just trusting him, it's not easy to do. When two or three of you, possibly, going through a really difficult time now and climbing your Mount Moriah, how do you trust? How do you trust? How do you trust? Let me put it this way. So this little guy was standing, I guess, let's say he was all like it, on the dunes, or no, where I was the other day, north of Cayucas, north of Cayucas at the windmill. There's a little place where I go quite often. And I'm on the beach five times a week for 30 minutes getting my mail in Cayucas. Anyway, so as I was walking down this path and I saw this little cliff, it's only about 12 feet tall, I got to thinking of this story of this little guy. For some reason, the little kid was up there and his dad was down there. And so the little guy said, "Hey, Dad, catch me." And so the guys looked up, you know, about 12 feet high. And the guy, dad looks up, and the little kid says, "Catch me, Dad." And before you knew it, the little guy jumped. The guy jumped, and the dad caught it. They both fell to the ground. Father got up and said, "Son, why did you do that? Why did you jump down?" And you know what he said? "Well, among other things, I trusted you." Well, I trusted you. I trusted you. And you know what, people? I think we need to latch onto that word better than we ever have before, to trust God in the thick and in the thin and in the all in between. Trust him, trust him, trust him, trust him. And that's so hard. That's so hard to do. We need to trust him. We need to know that he is right there. He's going to catch us. And so when that guy when the father said, "Why did you do it?" He said, "Because you're my dad." Okay. You're my dad. And so, you know, dads hold on to, let me do it this way. If I had a rope, I would do it this way. If I had a rope. I don't have a rope. Oh, you're kidding. You always carry a rope with you? Wow. Wow. Well, I was going to say, if I had a rope, I could illustrate what I'm trying to do. I need a volunteer. Thank you for participating. I'm sure we've practiced this a lot. Okay, stand up, sir. Okay, now I lost my whole train of thought. Okay, we're talking about trusting, holding on to God. And so a person fell into this crevice. And so, I'm sorry, that's not true. Back up. Forget what I just said, okay? Scratch, erase the tape, back it up. Okay. An object fell down, and it was a prized possession. The people were on vacation. They needed to get it, but they couldn't reach down. But it was wide enough for a person to get down, but the boy couldn't get. So the boy said to his dad, we're talking about fathers now. He said, Dad, you hold the rope. Hold it up high. Okay, I'm gonna go down. Okay, I'm going to go down. You hold the rope, and I'm going to go down. Okay? And I'm going to get it. And you pull me back up. Oh, all right, okay. Okay, but so this guy depended. Thank you, sir. You'll get your gold dollar later. This guy depended upon his dad. I don't want to be disrespectful, Abba. But you know what, people? He is our dad. And I've had people call him daddy. I don't do that because to me personally, I can't do that. But many people do, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that because he is. And for that concept, it does help people to know how to trust him. Through it all, I've learned, I think it says, to trust. Thank you very much. Okay, let me go to the Word of God again. We're talking about trusting. We've got testing, we've got trusting, and here's the scripture, Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. I will uphold you. If that's not enough, what about, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. It says this, but blessed is he, that is the one who, we're talking about trusting God. Anybody here trust God? It says here in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, but blessed is the one, me, you, who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the one who trust in the Lord. They will be like a tree, I love that, planted by the waters, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So let me encourage you to did we do that song, Trust and Obey, for There's No Other Way? We didn't do that, did we? We did that. Well, you know me. I'm only sitting behind here. I'm not listening to myself. But trust and obey, okay, because there's no other way. Trust in the Lord. Okay, my favorite scripture is Nancy's, my wife's favorite scripture. Right now she's living with Jesus. There she is. And her scripture was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says right here in God's Word, trust in the Lord, which he learned to do and taught me with all your heart. We're talking about trusting, right? Trust in the Lord with what part of your heart? All of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but it says right here, but in all of your ways, submit to him. Surrender, I submit. Put a gun on your back, you put your hands up, right? Okay, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And he goes on to say, people, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Trust. Abraham, on that mountain, did just that. He did trust the Lord with all of his heart and soul. We'll go back. Okay, let's just go back to the title, Climbing Your Mount Moriah. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Now, before your very eyes, there is a compartment in the back of the seat in front of you. And if you will look very carefully, you will find a piece of paper. And if you pull that piece of paper out, you will find it, each of you, pull it out. Everybody, I want you to take this home. When you find it, lift it up, dedicate it to the Lord. Okay, have you found it? It's right before you. There you go. Okay. My job at this church, I'm just a member of the church. Do you get one? We'll take two. You got two hands, okay? All right. Somebody put them in the pocket before you. Okay. My job in this church is I'm just a member of the church. I'm supposed to be here at 9:15, and this is what I have to do. I have to open the church, obviously, to get in. I have to turn on the heater. I have to wind up the clock. I have to turn on the lights, and I have to start the coffee machine. I do that at 9:15. So this morning, 45 minutes before I was getting ready to leave, I was praying on my knees about this service. What am I going to do? How am I going to wrap this up for the people to do something? And I had this beautiful God thought. How do you spell trust? It starts with, and it ends with, wow. I never thought of that before, but I did this morning. And then I said, okay, I'm talking about trusting. I'm talking about trials. Again, how do you spell trials? L. Ends with, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. At least somebody's awake. Okay, we're talking about, thank you very much. Okay, so I want you to take this home. Because each one of these words start with a T and ends with a T, and the T is equal to what? Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for Jesus, for the cross. Amen. I've been asked to have an altar call. That's what we do. If you're here today, and I always conclude my services with an invitation to accept Jesus. So if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus, and you may say, well, I think everybody has, but you would be surprised. There are people who have never done it. And so all you have to do is to believe. Say the word. Yes, in the John 3:16, God sent his son. And if you would right now in your heart just say, Jesus, I do believe in you. I put my trust in you. Then that's how you do get that ticket to heaven. So I encourage you just to do that. So here's what the altar call is going to be from now on. It's an altar call for you. If you have done that, then follow through with a profession of your faith. And so if there's somebody here who 3 minutes ago said, you know what? I believe, Neil, in Jesus. So I'm going to accept Jesus. If you've done that, then you will make that profession of faith by coming forward. So, Jade, let's get some background music, and let's just all stand. And so if there are those of you who want that profession of faith, we want you to come forward. If there are those of you who want to transfer your membership to this church and grow this little church as a mighty church as it's going to become with your dear pastor, because he's going to be back in the pulpit, God willing, as soon as possible. We invite you to unite with this church, and you can unite with this church by letter, by baptism, or by statement of the fact that you are a Christian. Or you may want just to dedicate your life. So in just these few minutes that follow before we leave, with your heads bowed, as the music penetrates your heart, make that decision for him. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord Jesus.